الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين تبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. What is الإمداد؟ There's no reason to laugh on the lecture. That's all. If you don't know, say I don't know. But we should not laugh and smile in the lecture. You know what is that in that? What is that in that? But al-imdad, or generally, what is al-imdad? To set up rival. This is al-imdad generally, to set up rival. And it is permissible to swear by one's father or one's mother. It is permissible to swear to take an oath by one's father or by one's mother. Not permissible? Why it's not permissible?
You don't swear by Allah. It's not permissible to swear by any other than Allah. Swear by any other than Allah.
Can you, do you have an evidence from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
There's the hadith where the person told Mr. Rasul that they were to make a choice by swearing by Allah, swearing by the Rasul, and swearing by the Kaaba. And now when they did this, the Rasul came and told the Sahabi, to only swear by Allah and the Rab of the Kaaba.
Mm-hmm. The Dahr is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right?
No, it's not.
The Dahr is not the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. It says in the hadith, Ana al-Dahr.
It says Allah calls him Dahr.
No, it says Ana al-Dahr. What does that mean, Ana al-Dahr? So why al-Dahr is not the name of Allah Azza wa Jal? Is not, you know, so if somebody was born and his mother named him the king of the kings, is that permissible? No? Why not? The Almighty. If somebody, his mother named him Ar-Rahman, is that permissible? Why not? No. Why Ar-Rahman is not permissible? Exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then is it permissible for this person to change his name? Mustaqil. Is it? Or it's not? It is? Are you sure? And the other 5%? What do you say? You say it's permissible? That's wrong. It's not permissible. You have to change the name. When you say permissible, that means you can do it or cannot do it. That if somebody was named, for example, Ar-Rahman, we said, is it permissible to change his name? They said yes. We said no, it's not only permissible, it's mandatory to change his name. When we say something is permissible, that does not mean you have to do it. But when we say it's mandatory, then it has to be done. Having said that, inshallah, we're going to move on to the next chapter. Chapter number 48 now, mashallah. Whoever ridicules or say anything to make fun of Allah or the Quran and the Messenger. Before going into this detail, we have told into detail into this chapter, we know that kufr is two sides, i'tiqadi and amal. I'tiqadi means kufr, which is in the creed, in the heart, and amali, which is kufr in action. Who can give us an example of kufr in action? That could be kufr in action, and this could be kufr in creed. Another example where he says, "Al-niyah al-mu'alimiyya." To weep over the dead is kufr. This is a kufr which is amal. Now the kufr which is amali also comes into two categories. Kufr which is amali, but it tells us about kufr in the heart. Kufr that is amali, kufr amali yunbi an kufr i'tiqadi. Kufr in the action, but this type of kufr tell us and reveal to us about the kufr which is in the heart. And kufr which is in the action, and it does not tell us about kufr in the heart. An example of a kufr in the action that tells us about kufr in the heart, if you see a person taking al-mushaf and throwing it in the garbage, intentionally. This is kufr amal, but that tells us about kufr in the heart. If somebody has any appreciation to the Quran, will not degrade the Quran by throwing it in the trash. So with this state in mind, a person who has refused or did the derogatory remark against Allah or against the Messenger or against the Messenger or against the signs of Allah, this type of kufr in the action tells us about kufr in the heart. Because no one who has the least amount of glorification to Allah will have the audacity to ridicule Allah and His Messenger. Just like no one who has the least amount of faith in the Quran will not make out of the pages of the Quran toilet issue. If a person does that, no matter how much he fasts and he prays, he's going to tell us he is a believer for doing that. Because that does not represent a person who glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, if a person ridicules Allah, His Messengers, the signs of Allah, this type of kufr informs us and tells us about kufr which rests in the heart. So the author included this chapter in the book of Tawheed to make us aware about things that represent kufr, for us to stay away from that which represents kufr, to guard our tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about the people, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم إن نعف عن طائفة منكم نعذب طائفة بأنهم كانوا مجرمين. If you ask them, they will respond and say, we will entertain ourselves and play. Say to them, are you making fun and ridiculing Allah and His book, Allah and His sign. If He will forgive a group of you, we're going to punish another group because they were from the mujrimeen, the criminals. This shows us making fun, ridiculing Allah and His messenger, ridiculing the signs of Allah is disbelief. So if somebody looks, for example, at the moon, and you say the moon looks funny. The moon is one of the signs of Allah. If somebody ridicules the moon, he's making fun of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, if somebody reads in the Quran and say this ayah does not sound good. This ayah sounds funny. That represents derogatory remark against the sign about the ayat of Allah, and this is make a person fall into major disbelief. If somebody makes fun of any of the messengers of Allah, that represents major disbelief. The next, the hadith that is included in this chapter tells us about the nature of what happened when this ayah was revealed. Can you read for us the hadith in English?
The point of the revealing of the battle of Tabuk, the mention of one day in prayer, we have seen no people in greater appetite, more lying, more cowardly in battle and low peace. He meant Allah's messenger from Allah by Allah's Sallam and his companions. Awf ibn Malik wrote and said, in fact, you are a liar and a hypocrite. Now I inform Allah's Messenger from Allah Ta'ala wa sallam about your words. We went to Allah's Messenger from Allah Ta'ala wa sallam, but then he from Allah Ta'ala wa sallam has already informed through a revelation. Meanwhile, the hypocrite was approached. Meanwhile, the hypocrite also approached Allah's Messenger from Allah Ta'ala wa sallam when he started. Journey and was already on his camel. He pleaded, O Messenger of Allah, we were only joking and trying to pass the time while traveling. Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, said, as if I see him that he was clinging to the saddle belt of the Messenger of Allah's camel as it ran and his legs were being battered by the rough ground, leaving David to continue feeding, i.e., we were only joking. Allah's Messenger from Allah, I was ever said, was that Allah Azza wa Jal, His ayat, and His Messenger from Allah, I was ever that you are mocking. Make no excuse that you have, make no excuse, you have disbelieved that you have believed. See that He from Allah, I was ever goes towards Him or towards anything first.
So that shows us this hypocrite. He was with the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ghazwa of Tabuk. Tabuk is a location that is next to Damascus, next to the Sham area. And the Prophet ﷺ went on the battle of Tabuk when he heard that the Romans were preparing to come to fight the Prophet ﷺ and the believers. So the Prophet left with his believing companions and he left to meet the Romans. That took place when this person, he said, ما رأينا مثل قرائنا هؤلاء أرغب بطونا ولا أكذب ألسنا ولا أجبن عند اللقاء. That we did not see like the people, the believers, they are cowards, they eat too much, and they are lying. So he was saying that about, he did not say the messenger himself is that, but he attributed that to the believers altogether. That represents ridiculing the believers. Because he said, we were just saying that to pass time, you know. But you cannot ridicule Allah and His messenger and the believers in such a fashion and claim that we are only passing time. Because if a person, any iman rests in his heart, will not do that. Only a person who has no faith will do that. So that shows us that this action is an action which represents disbelief, a person who does that, he has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and re-enter into Al-Islam. A person who does that has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and re-enter into Al-Islam. There is many people nowadays who say jokes, and those jokes are religious jokes about things in heaven, things in paradise, and Allah. They say it and they laugh about it. Those jokes represent major disbelief. If a person falls into saying those jokes, or hearing those jokes and laughing at it, he is taking part into this criminal action and he has to re-enter into Al-Islam. So we have to guard our tawheed to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way it should be. Speak for us the issue.
It is such a terrible thing that Allah will make fun to me rather than to dispute. The explanation given from the verse 965 applies to those who commit such an act, whoever they may be. There is a difference between backbiting and admonition and loyalty to Allah and the presence of the law and the Prophet.
There's a difference in namima. Namima is to carry on what a person says to a third person. This is namima. But when a person says about a third person something and this information has to be reported, then this is part of nasiha, advice to Allah as his messenger. The messenger of Allah used to take bay'ah from his companions to give advice to Allah as his messenger. So in this case, Awf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was saying that, and this is, does not represent namima, but that represents nasiha to Allah and his messenger.
The difference between forgiveness is about love and severity of dealing with the enemies of Allah.
Yes, this is a very important point. Not everything that we deal with it in our religion practice. Certain things have to be dealt with harshly, because harshness is needed in this situation. And the most adverse consequences could be reaped when softness is applied when harshness needs to be applied. Because this person was apologizing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet ﷺ did not even turn to look at him, but he recited the ayat that was repeated in Surah Al-Tawbah concerning this affair. Now we're going to move on to the next chapter, and this chapter deals with a similar topic that we have talked about before, which is the chapter of being grateful to Allah's bounty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us many bounties. And he told us in this surah Fussilat, the ayat, لا يسأل الإنسان من دعاء الخير وإذا مسه الشر فيئوس قنوط ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رجعت إلى ربي إن لي عنده للحسنى فلننبئن الذين كفروا بما عملوا ولنذيقنهم من عذاب غليظ وإذا أنعمنا على الإنسان أعرض ونأى بجانبه وإذا مسه الشر فذو دعاء عريض. It says in this ayat, the son of Adam does not get bored for asking goodness. And here goodness means wealth. But if an evil befall him, he goes into desperation and he despounds from the mercy of Allah. However, if this person was to taste the mercy of Allah after the status of difficulty, he would say, that is mine. And I do not think the day of judgment will come. However, just in case, if there was a day of judgment, When I go, Allah will give me such good reward. Allah said in response to him, we're going to tell you about the disbelievers, about their actions, and we're going to make them take severe punishment. So this chapter also reminds us the importance of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the times of difficulties and in the times of peace. The gratefulness means to be grateful to Allah in your heart, to utilize the bounty of Allah in His obedience. Then we're going to go to in the tafsir of this ayah. In another ayah it says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ مِّنِّي. The son of Adam will say, I have gathered whatever I have gathered due to my knowledge. And in saying so, he's not attributing the bounty to Allah Azza wa Jal, but he is saying he is the cause for this bounty, and he is attributing the bounty to himself. Then there's a third hadith, or the hadith in this chapter, which is a long hadith, and read it inshallah for us to take the benefit of this hadith. Yes.
Along with the three Israelis who were in effort to find him and walk in the name. The sentence of Indians who came to the number said, what made you a wolf? You find good color and good skin, for the people had a strong aversion to And the sentence and his illness was cured and was given a good color and good skin. Anger asked him, what kind of property do you like best? You will buy a camel or cow. The cop, the narrator, was confused. So he, Aisha Lepa, was given a present sheep camel, and the angel said to him, now I'll bless you in it. The angel then went to the water and said, what thing do you like most? He said, I like good hair, and wish to be cured of this disease. But the people killed a false woman. The angel touched him, and the illness was cured, and he was given good hair. The angel asked him, what kind of property do you like best? He replied, cows or camels. The angel gave him a pregnant cow and said, well, I'll bless you in it. The angel went to the blind man and asked, what thing do you like better? He said, I like that Allah may restore my eyesight to me so that I may see the people. The angel touched his eyes and Allah gave him back his eyesight. The angel asked him, what kind of property do you like better? He replied, sheep. He gave him a pregnant sheep. Afterwards, all the three pregnant animals gave birth to young ones. Multiplied and brought forth so much that one of the three men had a herd of camels filling a valley, one had a herd of cows filling the valley, one had a flock of sheep filling the valley. Then the angel, disguised in the shape and appearance of a leper, went to the leper and said, I am the poor man who has lost all means of livelihood while on a journey. So none will satisfy my need except the law and then you. In the name of him who has given me such nice color and beautiful skin and so much property, I ask you to give me a camel so that I may reach my destination. The man replied, I have many obligations, but not this. The angel said, I think I know you. Were you not a leper to whom the people had a strong aversion? Once you were a poor man, and then Allah gave you all the property. He replied, this is all wrong. I got this property through inheritance from my forefathers. The angel said, if you are suddenly alive, then let Allah make you as you were before. And the angel disguised in the shape of an appearance of a bald man, went to the bald man and said to him the same thing he told the first one. And he too answered the same as the first one. The angel said, if you are suddenly alive, then let Allah make you as you were before. The angel disguised in the shape of a blind man, went to the blind man and said, I am a poor man and a traveler whose needs of livelihood have been exhausted while on a journey. I have nobody to help me except Allah. After him, you yourself. asked you in the name of anyone to give me back your eyesight to give me a key so that with its help I may complete my journey. The man said, no doubt I was blind and no longer give me back my eyesight. I was poor and alive and sick. So take anything you wish from my property while I'm lost. I will not stop you from taking anything you need from my property which you may take for Allah's sake. Angel replied, keep your property with you. You, i.e. the three men, have been tested and Allah is pleased with you and angel with your two companions and walk with you.
This hadith, the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that those three people from the children of Israel, the one who was leopard and the one who was bold and the one who was blind, those people, as you heard the hadith, they were tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first benefit we take from this hadith that angels can come and appear to us to deliver us from calamities, as it says in this hadith. But that does not mean the person knew what appeared to him was an angel in the first place. Definitely those people, they asked for things and they got what they asked for. And due to the dua of the angel, may Allah bless you with it, that was their sheep, the animals that were given, they're multiplying so much that they have herds of each kind. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sends to people a set of situations to test the faith of people and their gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see how the first person and the second person, they denied that they were in such difficulty. And when somebody appears to them in a situation that they can relate to the most, the leopard, a leopard man appears to him, and a bold man appears to him. They denied the fact that they were like that, and they refused to give them anything, which means the love of wealth captured their heart. But that third person who asked for sheep, he was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that he said to the angel who appeared to him in the shape of a traveling person, he told him, not only take one sheep, take whatever you want. I'm not going to deny you from taking anything. That shows us the importance of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the bounty that Allah azza wa jalla bestows upon us. Many things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow upon us, and we should not be stingy to help others when help is needed. And this is related to our tawheed. Because as we have told you, to be grateful to Allah azza wa jalla is to acknowledge that the bounty is from Allah, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue, and to utilize Allah's bounty in His obedience. And the most type of audacity that the son of Adam fall in is to use Allah's bounty to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most hated type of action. But you find many people, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, they utilize Allah's bounty to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the question is in the end. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in being grateful to Allah. Then inshaAllah we're going to move on to the next chapter. يا إيش في خلف
هذا
نعم. Now we're going to move to chapter 50. And this chapter, it says, the title that was given to you in this chapter is the effort of the translator, not in the original text. Every name which leads to service of other than Allah is prohibited. And the ayah is given here in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 190 in Surah Al-A'raf. We're going to go to that surah inshaAllah. هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها فلما تغشاها حملت حملا خفيفا فمرت به فلما أثقلت دعوا الله ربهما لئن آتيتنا صالحا لنكونن من الشاكرين فلما آتاهما صالحا جعلا له شركاء فيما آتاهما فتعالى الله عما يشركون. In this ayah it says that Allah is the one who created you from a single cell. And from that Allah created the snake to be comfortable with it and to have peace with it. And when they came together